You're listening to AW360, a podcast from Advertising Week. Recorded in studio and live at Advertising Week's global events, AW360 features thought leadership conversations with the best and the brightest in the advertising, marketing, and technologies industries each and every week. If you enjoy AW360, we'd appreciate it if you took the time to subscribe on your podcast platform of choice and maybe even leave a positive review. Thanks for listening. Minu, welcome to the AW360 podcast. I'm so excited to have you on today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So you're SVP of Digital at Paris Hilton's 1111 Media. What's that like?
It's great. For those who don't know, I can give some context on 1111 Media and what Paris Hilton has been building. But Paris Hilton wears a ton of hats. She's the ultimate multi-hyphenate celebrity and has been for over two decades. So she had the brilliant idea of bringing all of that under the umbrella of a media company at 1111 Media, where she can bring together community, commerce, and content under one more synergized organization. And as SVP of Digital, I sit horizontally in the org. I oversee everything that touches a digital platform, whether it's e-commerce or social media or newsletters or content strategy, or even brand partnerships that are supported through those digital channels. That's sort of the space that I get to play in. And because Paris wears so many different hats, whether it's in the metaverse or with her fragrance line or with her DJ events or her music album coming out later this year, I get to play in lots of fun spaces and sort of similarly wear lots of hats alongside her and just amplify all the cool projects and launches. So that's sort of what I've been up to.
It's amazing. I am perpetually fascinated, as I'm sure anybody who's been paying attention to the rise of social and now into it being an everyday part of all of our lives, at just how deftly Paris has managed to not only start off with a bang, but and not even just stay relevant, but feel like she's more relevant than ever these days. What does that entail? How have you been, you know, able to assist with that, and kind of what's behind the scenes?
I think Paris Hilton is still really relevant today because she's just such an embracer of the constantly evolving and changing media landscape. She really is, in so many ways, the OG influencer. She kind of laid out the blueprint for what it means to be a creator and somebody with an online public persona that can be transformed into a multi-million dollar, billion dollar business empire. And so because she's such an embracer of the media landscape and where consumers enjoy content and enjoy interacting with celebrity personas, she's constantly sort of sitting on the cutting edge of where the media landscape is going. So she will be the first person to jump on an emerging platform or try out a new TikTok trend or explore, you know, playing in the metaverse before a lot of people necessarily are comfortable or willing to put time and bandwidth there. So I think so much of what she does really well is just tied to her actual true passion and DNA as somebody who just has a genuine fascination with technology and the evolution of the media landscape. And she herself is a consumer. She loves all those various digital platforms that I get to spearhead. And so it's one of those fun jobs where, for me, if I have a growth strategy in mind that's tied to an emerging platform, at no point do I have to really pitch it to Paris and explain why it's important, because more likely than not, she's probably already on it, probably has amazing ideas of her own, and is always game to be really agile. So I think that's really aided her relevance, especially with younger demographics on some of these platforms where, you know, many of those audiences probably weren't old enough to grow up with her during her Simple Life era. And so we're building this new chapter of her relevance and this new sort of connective tissue with younger consumers, and seeing it really work actually incredibly well. I think it's fascinating that 85% of Gen Z recognizes Paris Hilton and are more likely to be Paris Hilton fans than even millennials or Gen X demos. So we're seeing this weird sort of new era of Paris Hilton brand loyalists, thanks to her presence on all those platforms and meeting those consumers where they are.
And when it comes to reaching those demographics and staying relevant, because, I mean, I go back, you know, I watched the show, but that was so long ago now. And even though it kind of seems like yesterday, is it that she's on the platforms themselves? I mean, I just wouldn't think that would be enough. Or is it what she's doing? And if the latter, what is she doing that you think makes it so she resonates with these, you know, with like Gen Z?
So much of Paris's persona is really anchored in her latest sort of phrase and saying, which is sliving, which means slay and live your best life. And she's kind of coined it into this fun term. And of course, it's playful and very humorous, but it really hits on something that's truly the through line across all of her varied projects and product lines, which is she really wants to leave the world a better place and create this aspirational opportunity to feel like you can just add sparkle into your day-to-day life. So whether it's her fragrance line or her cookware line with Walmart or her New York Times bestselling memoir, there's this through line of an aspirational desire to sort of live like an icon and embrace this positivity and this playfulness in your day-to-day existence. And I think because that's such an authentic piece of her personality, it resonates. I don't necessarily know that Paris being on all of these emerging platforms and an embracer of trends would resonate the same way if we were force-fitting a brand messaging that didn't truly feel tied to her actual authentic self. But that truly is who she is as a human being. And I think that authenticity and desire to spread positivity and playfulness is a lot of what attracts new audiences to her, because they can understand that it's truthful and genuine. She often calls herself a kidult, like a kid adult, because she has such a playful, childlike aesthetic. She really loves sparkles and unicorns and video games and building community in the metaverse. And it's this fun little weird in between where Paris can be so incredibly highbrow and aspirational and luxurious as a celebrity, but also so unbelievably approachable. And so I think having that sliving through line and having that be so true to her persona, it creates sort of this like a feeling of affordable luxury or like aspiration within reach. And I think that has really helped people connect with her.
You know, before we get into the brand partnership side, which I want to dive into, what role, if any, does data play in all of this? I mean, you know, we have access, pretty much everybody on social has access to reams of data. I can imagine that she has, and you have by extension, as much or more than anybody. How are you utilizing that to sort of know where to have messages and who to target and so on and so forth? What role does data play?
We're incredibly data-driven at 1111 Media. And I've worked at some major media organizations from the Dot Dash Meredith brands to Yahoo. And I always thought all of those massive media corporations were incredibly data-driven, and they are. But 1111 takes it to a new dimension. We really love to dig into numbers and anchor everything we do into results and projections and understanding how to customize user experiences based on the audiences per platform. So we're very much meticulous about how we package up and distribute content and where and why and when and to who. And so we definitely look at data across all of our platforms, whether it's audience demographic data to understand those users who are interacting with our content, or even digging all the way down into how many link clicks can we drive for this style product with this style content on this style platform? Is that the right avenue to promote this product launch? Is that not the right avenue? Who interacts with her podcast? Who buys her pots and pans? Finding sort of that overlap in the users who kind of cross-pollinate and play in lots of her spaces. So we're very, very data-driven. It's a lot of what informs our strategy. And we love to test and learn. So it's not to say it's a data dictatorship. We definitely will try new things, but the data sort of anchors us in reality and allows us to make educated guesses to drive results. And so that's been a huge piece of what's been propelling 1111 Media's work.
Interesting stuff. You know, one of the things that we often see when too much data is used is that authenticity is sometimes lost, but that's clearly not the case here. you know, diving into, you know, you had brought up the Walmart cookware line. Let's use that as an example. How do you go about balancing, you know, sort of the brand needs on their side with keeping it authentic to the audience?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's always a little bit of a conversation with brands. When a brand like Walmart wants to incorporate a cookware line from Paris, obviously they have tons of institutional knowledge around what works, what sells, what users gravitate towards in terms of products. But Paris is also deeply involved in everything from the ideation stage to the design stage. She physically uses the products herself and understands what she loves about them. And so she can really position it with firsthand experience tied to the product. We really do try to find a balance with what a brand partner like a Walmart might want on their site or on their socials to what we know might resonate really well on TikTok, which might be way less polished and just Paris truly in the kitchen making frittata with her family or having some of her friends over at the house and creating a fun recipe. So we try to kind of play both sides with a product line. We have the really polished, more advertisey looking assets and brand messaging, but then we also try to really incorporate it into real life, which is way lower production, not scripted, not highly produced in any way, and just truthfully trying to show how the product and the brand resonate in her day-to-day existence. And I often find sometimes those lower lift, simpler moments where the brand just is natively and truthfully incorporated into her life are sometimes the moments that really help convert users to purchase and feel convinced that it's the product for them because it contextualizes it in a way that's very relatable. And so we kind of play in that space as much as we can with brands because at the end of the day, our goal and the brand's goal is the same. Like we want to drive results, we want to drive sales, we want to drive awareness. And so we will often help bridge that gap with what maybe a brand thinks would work well on Paris's social and what we know is tried and true.
And when it comes to creating that content around all of this, how do you optimize it? How do you go about creating it? And, you know, you got over the, like the idea generation part of it, but you know, each platform has their own needs. It seems like it would be a pretty tall order to constantly be tailoring all that content as you make it to each platform and then deploying it. What sort of, I guess, process does 1111 have when it comes to that?
It's definitely a tall order. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It takes a lot of patience and attention to detail to ensure that we're not just painting everything with a broad stroke and copy pasting things everywhere. For us, I think it all gets anchored in what is the result that the brand wants to drive. And based off of whatever that result is, if it's impressions and reach, or if it's video views, or if it's conversions to purchase through a link, we'll take that and that will kind of be how we choose to distribute the content and where we choose to distribute it. Because not everything goes everywhere. We like to ensure each of her digital channels, whether it's on social or newsletter or SMS or her website, we really want to create a reason to want to tune into all of those places because they're not the same exact thing. And they all have different strengths and weaknesses based off of user behaviors we've observed with previous launches. So we understand the platforms where we know for a fact we can drive really incredible scale and reach, or we know for a fact actually the riches are in the niches and this audience is her super users and they will definitely click and download and purchase. And that's sort of what helps us understand how to force rank our priorities, because otherwise we're just trying to boil the ocean with each launch. And she, you know, constantly has dozens of products and launches and brand partnerships. And so we try to really ensure that first and foremost, we're delivering the result that is the key priority for the brand and laddering that into the channels we know will get them there.
You know, looking ahead, do you have any previews of things that we can be expecting over, like, say, the remainder of 2024 that we should be on the lookout for?
Definitely. Paris is playing more and more in the music space. There's some really, really exciting launches happening in that category of product. I'll also say her Walmart cookware line has been such an incredible success that it's very possible more is coming in the lifestyle space that we've been working on that I think is going to really excite her audience and also expand their horizons beyond the kitchen with fun things that they can buy and purchase. She's also going to be coming out with her 30th fragrance, which is a massive milestone for her. It's one of her longest existing product lines and has been a multi-billion dollar business and one of her most successful launches to date. And so we're really excited to have her 30th fragrance come out. But truly, I think I could probably go through every product category and find either something she's working on or a reason maybe she should start working on it, because Paris is so versatile. She kind of is a voice of authority in so many different places. But I will say, yeah, lifestyle, music, and fragrance are three spaces that really deeply excite me. And it was also announced a few months ago that she's going to have a clothing line. And I've seen those products firsthand, and I would personally wear all of it. I think it's incredible what she's creating. A lot of her lines right now are an opportunity to create affordable luxury and really feel like you get to live in a piece of Paris Hilton's life, something that's curated by Paris, something that she truly loves, but without breaking the bank. And I think it's really special that she's able to do that. And, you know, she's been Easter egging a lot of those items in her social media content. So if you see her accessorizing with something beautiful and you can't identify the designer, perhaps she's the designer. And so there's more exciting things coming in that space too.
Very cool stuff. Well, if one wanted to find out more about you and 1111 Media, where should they go?
For 1111 Media, we have a very active LinkedIn presence and Instagram presence, literally just 1111 Media. So follow us there. You can hear more about launches, initiatives, open roles on our team as we continue to expand. And to follow me, it's Minu Clark everywhere, whether it's on X, Instagram, LinkedIn. So you can catch up with me in all those spaces.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to be on today. This is very cool. I'm looking forward to all of this.
Thank you. Yeah, likewise. It's exciting. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to AW360. For more podcasts like this one, be sure to check out Advertising Week's ever-growing roster of podcasts for the advertising, marketing, and technology industries, including our flagship podcast, Great Minds. You can find those at www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts.